Good morning, friends. Very good number out today. Very good sight to behold in having so many people who are interested in serving the Lord and in seeking Him first on this Lord's Day. I commend you so much for your decision and your desire to gather to worship God. We have a good number of visitors, and we're just very delighted to have you as well. And we hope you leave here closer to God and closer to a few more people in this community as a result of your time with us. Very encouraged by your presence. And I know that we all need this. I know you're like me in that you need worship. I need it. I need to draw closer to God and to be reminded of the mercy and the patience of God and how it's just so good to start over, which is what the blood of Christ lets us do, lets us rise up and commit again to walking with God and living to be in eternity with Him. And that's why it's just so good to gather in His name, to honor Him and to worship Him and to remember Him and to praise Him, because He is just so worthy of it. But I'm glad you're here, friends, and I'm glad you see the importance of this as well. Speaking of Jesus, I want to consider something that He says in Matthew chapter 6, and I won't be able to read the entire text, obviously, but I do want to pick up where He is mentioning prayer. And I'm not going to have an elaborate study on prayer this morning, but there's something He states in prayer, especially as He is teaching people how to pray. And He's addressing a lot of very important principles that we need to apply, keeping it sincere and genuine and real. That's the heart of what He's saying. With reverence toward God, with frequency, we need to pray and pray without ceasing. But He says in the midst of this text, on being genuine and sincere, not as the hypocrites who do this to be seen by men, He says in verse 8, "Do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It would do us well to spend time analyzing this prayer every so often, because He addresses seven basic elements of prayer. And you can see that through the periods. There are seven different periods in this prayer model that He gives us. And these seven different statements and these seven different thoughts are all very important, so very important, in having respect toward God as we depend on Him in prayer. We need to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray more often. But in looking at this prayer, I'm about to notice something with you that I don't notice that often, and I don't know if you've noticed that often. And it's specifically with what He says in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, honestly, how many times have you prayed that? How many times have you said, "Give us this day our daily bread"? I'm going to confess, I don't pray that often. I don't. And I don't know if you do. I'm not doubting that we all give thanks daily, multiple times a day, for the bread and the food that God shares with us. I don't doubt that. We are all mindful of what He gives us, and that's what bread can represent. Any food item. You know, when we gather to break bread, it doesn't mean that we're limiting our food choices to just bread. We may not even have bread, and yet we're breaking bread. So bread can represent that, but bread can also represent all the needs of life, from food and clothing and shelter and health and all that we need. for life on earth. But when was the last time we said, give us this day our daily bread? Now, a great challenge I think a lot of us have is that we have more than enough. You know, we have bread enough and to spare, as the prodigal son remembered about his father, looking back when he left the prosperity of the homeland in search for wasteful living. He looked back and said, man, we were doing very well. My father has a lot. He has bread enough and to spare. And that's how we live for the most part. We have bread enough and to spare because our God is just so rich in mercy toward us and because he shares so much with us. But consider this. What if Jesus is saying a little bit more than just praying for a meal? What if he is implying a host of things that can help us in our relationship with God as we think about this thought and as we apply this thought? Because all these elements of prayer are so important. But I will admit that it's often easy to bypass this one. It's often easy to lose the significance of this one, of praying for our daily bread. I believe what Jesus is saying here implies certain things. For instance, that we need to be people who lean on God. We rely on God to provide for us. You look at this phrase, give us this day. Give us. And really what that is saying is, please give. Please give. Please let me have this. I love how one translation says that we acknowledge you as our provider of all that we need. And that is true. Do you realize you would not have bread without God? You wouldn't. We wouldn't have bread. We need God to provide us with the seed, obviously. We need God to provide us with the soil that allows the seed to grow. We need God to provide us with the rain, as was stated in a prayer this morning already. We need God to provide us with the sun to produce the growth of the seed. We need God to provide us with the strength and the wisdom and the ability to harvest that seed and to process that seed. All of it centers around God. And that's what's implied in this statement. Give us this day, that we cannot have this without you. And without you, we are nothing. And that is so important for us to remember that. You know, when Paul was talking to people in Acts chapter 14, he repeats a message here that he used quite frequently in the pagan world when he was talking to people about converting them from lifeless, dead, carnal idols to serve the living and true God. It's a message he repeated often throughout that part of the world that was given to idolatry. And here he is repeating that message, but notice where he says in verse 17, here's how you need to view this God. Here's how you need to remember your God. He says in verse 17, nevertheless, God did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Where does your food come from? Who makes it possible for you to have bread? Who makes it possible for you to live in this world and for life to be sustained? It's our Creator. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. In him we live and move and have our very being. And it's so important for us to remember that I cannot live without God. You cannot live without God. You are breathing right now, because God is letting you. It's by his mercy. And that's all inherent in this idea of please give. In Psalm 104, beautiful passage, Psalm 104, I'm just going to read a section of it, but notice again how the Bible is trying to get us to realize we have nothing without him. In Psalm 104, notice this in verse 10 through verse 15. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Where does it come from? Where does your food come from? Not you, not me, not our wisdom, not our ingenuity. It's all by the hand of God. And it's just so important that we realize this. If there is one message our nation needs to hear, is that we are nothing without our God. He is the source of our strength and prosperity and life. And the last person we should be abandoning is God. He's the source of life. And the Bible teaches us that one of the great challenges we have as people when things are going so well is that we tend to forget where it comes from. We tend to forget who makes it possible. We tend to forget our creator and sustainer of life. It's all by him. God told his people this many times over in times past. And if there is a message we need to hear, it's Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, I know he said it to the Israelites, but in principle, it's something we still need to hear today. Why? Because we have so much. We have so much abundance. We have so much excess. It's all been showered upon us so richly by our merciful God. I remember when some Christians traveled from overseas to come to the States for a while, and they were blown away when they went into a convenience store and they saw the variety that was there in a convenience store, which is nothing compared to what you and I are used to. I mean, a convenience store most of the time is the last alternative for us. And yet they come and they see all this variety and all this abundance on the shelves, where they were used to back home, if they had a product, it would be one option or many empty shelves. And yet even at a gas station, they were blown away by the abundance. We are so rich. God has showered his favor upon this nation. The last person this nation needs to leave is God. And our leaders need to see that. And our leaders need to remember that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, here's what God says to his people many years ago, but in principle, it's still true for us, in that we need to remember where it comes from. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, read with me if you will. As God is preparing his people to inherit the land of Canaan, bringing them out of captivity to a land of their own, a land flowing with milk and honey, and teaching them that they should not live by bread alone, but by God, he says in verse 6 beginning, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You know, a lot of this reminds me of the United States. It really does. We are just so blessed with resources here. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware, he says in verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In verse 17, look with me where he says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Now he's saying, look, I'm going to tell you beforehand while you're still dirt poor and you're begging for help. I'm going to tell you beforehand, before I give you all this excess, you're going to forget me. You're going to let that excess deceive you, thinking, I did it. I multiplied all of my increase. It's all by me. God says, don't do that. Don't do that, because I've freely given and I'll freely take away if you abandon me. My goodness, what a message our nation needs to hear. But I think all of it is inherent in what Jesus is trying to get us to see. Friends, listen. Please, listen. Every day, do this. Every day. Every day, you and I need to look up. Every day, we need to look up. Now, not just figuratively and spiritually, certainly. We need to seek first and set our mind on things above. That is so true. But I'm talking about literally. Literally, we need to look up to the sky every day, day or night, or both, and remember whose world this is. We are just passing through this world. It was in existence long before we got here, and God has the ability to keep it existing long after we're gone. This is my Father's world, and I'm just passing through. And it's so important for me to remember who is the giver of bread. I love the story. I've shared it with some of you before, but it's such a neat story about this man who lived next to a church building. And they had limitations in parking. And so this man gave them permission to park on his property every Sunday, except one Sunday out of the year. And they asked him, well, why is that? Why will you let us park on your property except one Sunday out of the year? And he said, so you will remember whose property it is. And that's a lot of wisdom. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. But you need to remember who's sharing this with you. You need to remember who's making it possible for you to have this prosperity or these advantages. Right there. He's doing it. Our Creator is the person who is making it possible for us to still be in this world. And that's all inherent and implied in what Jesus is saying. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me keep going, though, if I may. I think there's another principle found in this. Not just leaning on God, relying on Him to provide for us and thanking Him for it. But I think there's something else said in this phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. I forgot a verse. Here's a good passage to go to. Proverbs chapter 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Very good thought. I wish I'd have remembered that in this lesson, but that's a very good thought to go back to in looking at God. But this is the point I want to get at. Give us this day our daily bread. And I think that leads us to a second point of living one day at a time. Do we realize that God wants us to live each day? Live each day. And what I think it means is that we are people who appreciate today, the blessings of today, meet the challenges of today, live today. That's how God wants us to approach life. To be mindful of what He's sharing with us now and be grateful for the blessings that still remain in our life, but to live one day at a time. I believe it's safe to say that we tend to focus on other days. We tend to dwell on the past. You know what that's like. You know, especially when we've made past mistakes, that's not good for us to dwell on that. And it's not necessarily harmful for us to be nostalgic in looking back on the past. I think this time of year just draws it out of us, especially with children. You know, when you come to the end of a school year and even the end of a certain phase of life for our children, it tends to be a very emotional time because we realize life is changing, life is transitioning. There are things that are over, not coming back. And it's all kind of highlighted in moments like this time of year. Sometimes we can focus too much on the future. Not saying it's not good to prepare for the future. We need to be mindful of the future and especially our future needs and where we want to go. That's all important. But we can get stuck in the future and not appreciate what God has given us today. And yet God is teaching us, you focus on today. You live for what you have today. That's how we keep a balance in life. Someone said, it is not the burdens of today that wear people down. It is when they add the troubles of yesterday and tomorrow that life becomes unbearable. And I like that. Can I be faithful now? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, notice how Jesus says it. In the context of worry and trying to teach us not to worry, easier said than done, without question. In verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about what may be or what could be. What do you have right now? How are you responding to right now? Notice this in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus is teaching us to persevere and to not lose heart and to continue to make the sacrifices needed to live for Him, where He says in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You ever read that? You ever notice that? That God is saying that you meet the challenges of living for me every day. Daily meet the challenges of bearing that cross. And sometimes it's when we forget that, that again, life becomes so overwhelming. I think of this man who was wanting to obey the gospel. He was ready to commit himself to God. But he was reluctant to do so. And the reason he was reluctant to do so is because he did not believe he could be a good person. He just felt like, well, there's just too much within me that I don't know if I can commit to that level of sacrifice. And I think his main struggle at that point was whether or not he could quit cussing, among other things. And it was suggested to him, can you do it today? Can you meet the challenges of living for God today? Are you willing to commit to yourself or yourself to the Lord now? Will you do it today? You go, yeah, I can do it today. Well, that's all the Lord wants from you. Do it now, today. And that was enough to convince him of the need to obey the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying, that we have to meet the challenges of this day that the Lord has given us. Do you realize that faith must be fought for daily? It has to be won or lost one day at a time, is how faith is developed. I see this with God in His guiding the people before, especially in providing them bread from heaven, speaking of bread. But He told them in Exodus chapter 16, I mean, you think about this. Here these people are coming out of captivity and they're hungry. And so God says, okay, I'll give you bread every day. You go out and it's going to be like dew on the ground. You just got to go out and take it in and prepare it. That's all you have to do. But He made one condition of them. When you go out, when you see this stuff on the ground, don't take more than a day's worth. Don't get so greedy and gobble it all up thinking, well, I got to get a whole month's supply today. No. God said, if you do that, it's going to ruin. It's going to spoil. I'll destroy it. I'll take it from you. You do it one day at a time. And on the day of Sabbath, when you're supposed to rest and not work, you didn't take a double portion the day before, and I'll provide for you. But notice why He did that. Notice why He limited His people to one day at a time. It was for their faith, to see if they would trust Him to still provide in the future. In Exodus chapter 16 and verses 4 and 5, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Well, I have it today. What about tomorrow? God says, I'll take care of tomorrow. You got it today. Be grateful for what you have today. That's how he was teaching them to live. And I see a principle there. That sometimes, like I said, we can get locked in the past, wallowing in our mistakes and our failures. Sometimes we can get locked in the future, worried about how we'll be provided for and meet our needs. And God says, let those days take care of themselves. Can you be faithful today? Can you seek me today? Can you lean on me today? That's what's so important. I see this in the heart of Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about how he approached it. When he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 31 and 32, I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily, he says. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now he centered his life around that resurrection, without question. But the trials he met, the challenges he met, he didn't do this 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time, 1 year at a time. He did it 1 day at a time. Can you be faithful today? Can you serve God today? Can you trust God today? Is it possible? Yes, it's very much possible. And can I be grateful right now with what he shares with me right now? Can I meet the moment now he has put before me? Yes. Yes, I can. And that, I think, again, is all inherent in what Jesus said, and give us this day. But then he says, and I'm going to close with this, give us this day our daily bread. Now, like I said already, believe bread can represent a lot of things here. But it's certainly dealing with the necessities of life. When we're asking God to give us this day our daily bread, we're asking him to help us meet the most basic needs of life. We're asking him to help us meet the most basic needs of life, and if they are being met, we are mindful of that and grateful for it. Is it wrong for you to pray for material prosperity? Is it wrong for you to pray for earthly blessings? Is it wrong? Is it wrong to ask God to help us physically in this world? Well, no. I've already stated that there are 7 principles stated in this prayer of Matthew chapter 6. 1 out of 7 has to do with the material realm, physical needs. But it's there. It's there. Jesus is stating in this prayer, it's okay to ask for these things. In fact, he already said in verse 8, he knows you need them before you ask for them. Which, of course, shows that we ask because he wants us to know we need him. In verse 31 and 32, the very same context, Matthew chapter 6. In looking at being provided for, he says in verse 31, therefore do not worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So he's showing us, God is not, he's not unaware that we have financial, physical health concerns. He knows that. And he wants to be people who rely on him to meet those needs. It's not wrong to ask for help with the physical realm. That's what John said. John, in fact, said it in 3 John verse 2. Write this one down and look at it sometime. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. All spiritually, right? No. I want you to prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So he offsets it with the spiritual prosperity. It's who we are. It's not wrong to ask God to help us with this physical world. But keep in mind, it's just 1 of 7. It's 1 of 7. It's not 6 of 7. It's 1 of 7. I don't think that has to mean that we have to be precise and analyze and count out our physical request in contrast to the spiritual. I don't believe he's saying to have a 6-to-1 or 7-to-1 ratio. I don't think that's what he's saying there. But I think he is saying this in this prayer. That yes, we have needs, and yes, we can ask God for help with those needs. But don't let that be the center of your faith. That's what he's saying. Don't let that be the center of our existence. That yes, these things are real, but the greater concern and the greater emphasis should be on seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Should be on seeking first our relationship with God, which I think is what you're doing today, is what brought you out, and I commend you for that. But I encourage us with these words to think about that daily. And that as long as our daily bread is met, we can be people who are content. That's the perspective a person going to heaven has. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, it's okay. We're okay with losing it all. We are. Because this is not the basis of our life. It's not the basis of our faith. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 10, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's true. You realize that if you are godly and you're satisfied in any circumstance, you can endure anything. In verse 7, you brought nothing. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Well, people say, well, the only things certain in life are death and taxes, right? Well, no, Paul says there's at least one more. It is certain you brought nothing here, you take nothing with you. That's certain. You carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and the many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. You know why? You know why those things drown us? Because we're so consumed with this world that we're not looking up. We're not mindful of where this all came from and where we're going in relation to it. The devil does a wonderful job at distracting us with this world. And when we're just so greedy and it fills our heart, we forget what this is all about. In verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why can you and I not be greedy? Why? Because we brought nothing, we leave with nothing. It's all temporary, and the person who's sharing it with us to begin with is our God. That's why. Okay. Hey, with food and clothing, I shall be content with the bread of life. But my goodness, greed, I mean, come on. We all know how easy it is to get greedy. It is. It's just so easy. There's a story of this, I read this one time, of a man who would walk to work in the city every day, walking the blocks of the city, and he would pass this guy selling shoestrings for 50 cents a pair. And this businessman didn't need shoestrings, but he would throw 50 cents in the cup every day out of his generosity for this guy. Time goes by every day. He just drops the money in the cup, and he never takes any shoestrings. He just wants to help the guy out. One day he goes by, and he drops 50 cents in the cup, and the guy who's selling the shoestrings says, sir, you need to know that the shoestrings now cost a dollar. Greedy. Greedy, greedy, greedy. But is it not easy for us to be like that? God, you need to know that now I need excess. Now I need abundance. Now I need more. Do you? Do you really need more? Godliness with contentment is great gain for the people of God. And so, give us this day our daily bread. Bread. The necessities of life. Well, friends, you've listened patiently once more, and I thank you for it. But when was the last time you prayed, give us this day our daily bread? May God bless us. May God bless us in our relationship with Him. I hope you were in class this morning because you were reminded, we were reminded of the tremendous day that's coming as a thief in the night when the Lord is going to come back and everybody's going to know this. And everybody's going to be judged by our God. And it could happen even today as a thief in the night. If you're not in Christ, we sing this song to encourage you to obey the gospel. A beautiful, beautiful message of believing Jesus is the Son of God and having the courage and conviction to confess that before man. And then, of course, having the, you know, the willingness to repent of sin, like we already talked about. And then the conviction to be baptized, buried with him in water, and raised to walk in newness of life for the forgiveness of sins. That's the New Testament pattern of salvation. Very simple and very accessible to all of us. And so we hope you, if you haven't done that, you will think about doing that even today, even after services. If you're ready, we can help you. But if you're a subject of the Lord's invitation in any way, please come to him as we stand and sing.